Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Cosmo Pharmaceuticals Full Year Results 2012 conference call. I'm Joya, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Mauro Ajani, CEO, Mr. Chris Tanner, CFO, Mr. Luigi Moro, Chief Scientific Officer. You will now be joined into the conference room. Thank you.
Our press conference this morning, especially just in front of Easter vacations, we knew we were testing your resolve to understand, to try to see how high your interest is in coming to look at our numbers. Mauro Ajani will now lead you through the presentations, and feel free to interrupt and ask questions at any time. And we will have, however, when you have questions, you have to give the signal because we have people listening in on the telephone, and you need to have a microphone for your questions to be called. Mauro.
Okay. Good morning. Let me say that the 2012 was a very good year for us, not only for the very strong growth of revenue and our operating profits and comprehensive income that we got a record, but for what happened in terms of development. As you know, the Uceris, that is our second drug, has been approved in the U.S. The 13th of January, and in the Netherlands, and now we are applying the MRP procedures, and we are pretty sure that within this year should be ready to launch even in Europe. The rifamycin. We got a very good result in the pivotal study in the U.S., and now we are in an ongoing trial, the second pivotal study for the registration. There is a delay in the recruitment in India because we have some problem with the new rules that the Indians apply in the clinical trials. At the same time, the product that we licensed to Medicis that has been acquired by Valeant and is in the middle of the phase 2 dose range study. And our CB1701, that is our methylene blue, we finished the phase 2B with extremely an interesting good result. And we are very confident that within a couple of months we will start with the phase 3 pivotal study. At the same time, we have a very strong increase in our investment that we did in Santaros because we increased from slightly 18 million to slightly 66. And in terms of purchase, we purchase the Colombo real estate because we buy the plant where we are producing 100% of our drug. Sorry, I forget to present the people that are with me.
If we look at the financial highlights, it's a bit difficult. When we were preparing for today's presentation, we said, how can we retain your attention if you have numbers that are so large? And hopefully not have, have the expectations that they're going to be growing by 100% moving forward on a continuous basis. But we had a truly very, very good year. Revenues grew by more than 77%. What's important is you'll recall we started out as a contract drug manufacturer and initially were only manufacturing for third parties. Now the revenue we generate from our own business has increased from 64% to 81%, and I think this is the one number which makes very clear how the company has been transforming itself from a third-party manufacturer to a company that generates and manufactures its own products. If you look at our cost base, it did increase. We're, however, enormously proud of the way we're able to contain costs, and costs only increased by 34%. And the bulk of this cost increase was an increase due to research and development, which is due to the two clinical trials which are ongoing at the present time. As you know, moving forward, we believe that after 2014, this will fall down, taper off, because by that time, our programs will have come to maturity. EBITDA increased by 160%, net profit by 154%, and then we come to this number which Mauro alluded to before. It's a comprehensive income number. You know that we are not yet obliged to report according to IAS 9, but we did have an enormous increase in the value of our investment in Centaurus. As a flashback, when we did our first licensing agreement with Centaurus, we decided that we would take shares instead of cash. And instead of taking $19 million of shares, those $19 million of shares have transformed themselves as of today into $136 million. So that was a very smart and a very lucky, I think, investment that we made in that specific case. Consequently, of course, cash and financial assets available for sale enormously increased. So I think we can say that we have sufficient capacity to do lots of things, and moving forwards, if things progress the way that they have been progressing lately, we will without doubt come to a moment when we will have to start considering distributing selective parts of the cash to investors. If we break down the revenues, and what, as I said before, research and development expenses increased substantially. COGS remained quasi-stable. Selling and general administrative expense, which is what is the bulk of the classical normal ongoing activity, is really nearly the same as we had in 2011. The one thing that we've had in a big increase in comparison to the past, an increase in the taxes we have to pay. I think the Italian state will be glad to see that we are contributing, at least in part, to the reduction of the deficits over there. And at the end, we come to the situation of the comprehensive income moving up to $64 million. Coming to the balance sheet. Balance sheet is practically entirely financed with equity. 80% of our total assets are financed by equity. Our financial assets available for sale, as described before, are principally the investment in Centaurus. For your knowledge, for your information, whenever we take a payment in shares of Centaurus, it locks us in for the next 6 months, meaning that we cannot sell any shares for the next 6 months. Thereafter, we can sell them at any time. There have been many people who have approached us about buying these shares, so even though it's a large stake, we're the largest shareholder in Centaurus. Centaurus shares have an enormous liquidity if you look in the market. And what's important is, since this is an investment that we made some time, all of its gains that we have on these assets are tax-free. So there's no tax which would be payable if we decide to liquidate these assets. We have increased our long-term interest-bearing loans and borrowings because we acquired Cristoforo Colombo Real Estate in July last year. You'll recall Cristoforo Colombo Real Estate is a company which holds the manufacturing facilities of Cosmo. And since we were considering expanding the manufacturing in Cosmo, broadening the manufacturing base, the plant and machinery, we thought it was necessary for Cosmo to control totally this manufacturing, and we decided to buy it back. And as a consequence, we integrated all of the existing financings that were within Cristoforo Colombo Real Estate, and they are now in our balance sheet. Otherwise, whatever debt we have is practically only subsidized debt at very low interest, which was given to us at one time or the other by the Italian state to support us in our various research endeavors. Net working capital increased slightly. It will change moving forward. At the present time, all the goods we manufacture for Shire are not capital intensive because they give us orders and they deliver all the excipients and all the products we manufacture. They deliver them to us, so it's not our cost. So whatever we have in inventory is low, and it is in essence only the value added that we provide. Moving forward, the Santagos is going to be different. We manufacture and deliver the product to them at a low cost, but subsequently they pay us upon sale. They pay us 10%. This means that in essence, our royalty base, if you want to describe it, or similar to royalty base for Uceris, is 22%, consisting of 10%, which is really for the COGS, and 12% for the classical royalties. But these are paid upon sales. So the inventory risk moving forward will be borne by us, which means that our working capital is going to increase slightly moving forwards. The goodwill and intangible assets were up very little. We capitalized the budesonide phase 3 cost. We had a very small additional cost in 2012, so it moved up slightly. Moving forward, we will be writing this off as a proportion with a proportion of revenue moving ahead, but in essence, this is the budesonide capitalization. As I said before, tangible net worth increased enormously to 102 million euro, and 82% of all assets are financed with equity. If you look at our cash flow, you can see that the which composition of our cash out there is, of the total cash, of the total tax that we paid. Only a certain portion was paid last year. The next portion is going to be paid this year. We had a slight change in increase in working capital, but a very slight additional investment in intangible assets, and of course the investment we made in Cristoforo Colombo Real Estate. But overall, you can see that the cash we had at the beginning of the year increased substantially to 27 million and a bit more at the end of the year.
Give you an overview in where the Cosmo is where we are going. So now, Cosmo is a company that is for the 99% of our business involved in the IBD, and especially in the ulcerative colitis market. Thanks to the technology that 10 years ago we move differently than a normal drug delivery, because our intention was not to become a drug delivery company but a specialty pharma. We understood that we can use our expertise, our knowledge in a disease that was the ulcerative colitis. Let me say that we were lucky, because when we started, the ulcerative colitis market was roughly $1.5 billion, and now is more than $3 billion. Let me say that was a very good opportunity, and is still a very good opportunity, because at that time there were not big pharma in the field, because the big pharma considered the market too small. And is the reason why now we remain a very medium-sized company, but in terms of IBD, in terms of importance in the ulcerative colitis market, we can consider our company one of the most important players. is the first time that technology, we are a company has two products in the market. We already have it, the Lialda, that is a very good case history. And the second is U-Series that, in my opinion, could be even better. Okay? So, in the same time, thanks the investment that we did and thanks the time that we spend in the field, we built a very strong relation with the professor. And thanks the relation that we built with the professor, allow us to be in a very comfortable position in terms of view, in terms of try to maximize the opportunity that we could find in the colon area. It is the reason why, less than 2 years ago, we believe that was the right time to move the company from a niche market, like the IBD market is, to a very big market that is the colonoscopy market, that is more than 14 million colonoscopy. Let me say that we are moving the company without taking a lot of risk, because at the end of the day, we are applying the same strategy that we already apply in the IBD market, because our expertise allow us to be sure that we can spread along all the colon all the substances that we want. In the case of the chrome endoscopy, is a pure diet of the colon, so there is nothing else to do. Okay, this is the view in terms of science and where we are going. In terms of business opportunity, our business model is very simple, because since the beginning we did believe that was practically impossible for us to cover the entire value chain of the market, and we retain the research, the development, and the production. Our intention was, is to find product by product the best partner that we can. Now, story. In 2008, we were in front of a possible problem of opportunity, because we already licensed in early stage the Lialda, and we were developing in phase three the budesonide. The question was how we can retain as much as we can in terms of value in the major market that is the U.S. market. We started to think about possibility to build an own company. And at the end of the day, the decision was try to minimize the risk, but try to get as much as we can the effort and the value. And after several meetings that we have in the U.S., we decided to get a partnership with Santarus. Since the beginning, I was strong convinced that Santarus was exactly our partner, because it's very simple, because we have, and we have what they didn't have and they don't have, and they have what we didn't have and we don't have. So meaning that we are fully focused in the research, development, and production, and they are fully focused in marketing and commercial. So was the reason why we decided to get shares instead of cash, because we strongly believe in the company. We strongly believe in their expertise, and we do believe that they could be our partner in terms of how we can launch in the market the product. Let me say that after 5 years was very great, not only because instead of 19 million, now we have in March 2013 roughly $140 million. That is very good, but it's not enough in my opinion. But because we built a strong case, and we built something that, let me say that I am, the feeling is very good for the future, because thanks the relationship, thanks the great result that we got with budesonide, I am confident that we can do the same for the next generation of products, starting from rifamycin. That is a very good opportunity, because don't forget that there is our sister molecule already launched by Salix in the U.S., and Salix in the U.S., for the molecules, I believe that worth more than $400 million. So means that we have already major opportunity that we can, in my opinion, fulfill starting from the next year. In the same time, we are working together, and we are working to find other solution and other opportunity that can boost the both companies. Now, Luigi can explain better. I try to explain the science view of the business case. Now, Luigi tried to explain exactly how we built our portfolio in terms of patent.
Okay. The results that you have seen are, of course, based on a solid patent position, because we are really conscious of the importance of a solid patent portfolio on a business case like ours, where we have to go to the market through alliances. And we made all the effort in the past year, and we hope also now and in the next years, to strengthen our patent position by using the three classical way that are allowed. That is the product patent, the use patent, and the combination patent, that is the new trends. Well, in given this, we spent a lot of time to try to reinforce our position of the market by making some fence that the other competitor cannot overcome. And I wanted to present you, for example, the major market, that is the U.S. What is the patent situation that we have on our project? You see that are green line and blue line. The green line are the patents that have been already issued, have been already into the Orange Book, or they have to be inscripted in very, very shortly. They constitute the present fence today for the competitor. But there are a lot of blue light. What are the blue light? The blue light are continuation, divisionals, other patent opportunity in terms of application that we already filed and still are under examination by the patent offices. And there is a big possibility that in the future they became patent issue. And so they continue to increase and elevate our fence against the competitor in the market. Well, we start at the beginning with the MMX technology patent that has expiring in 2020. But if you look to the blue line particularly, you see that for budesonide, that is the bigger drug that today we could promote into the U.S. market, we made at least 7 or 8 patent applications. 3 of them have already been issued. Others are in line to be, let me say, approved, and some of them have the opportunity to prolong significantly the patent protection and so the market exclusivity possibility for the company. And in some cases, we could arrive over 2030. But our strategy is, as far as we approach the marketing entrance for a new product, we improve our attempt to have the big patent protection possibility. And so what we did for budesonide in this case, we have to repeat the other one. Some of this kind of product has been very proxy to the market. As Mauro told, the rifamycin is the new and the next product that we wanted to have on the U.S. market. And we started in this kind of strategy to improve the patent protection. And still we have a patent position very favorable, because the basic patent for rifamycin has also the chance, in this case, to take advantage of the rifamycin being a new chemical entity for the U.S. market. And so they have also the possibility to have a supplemental patent certificate that extend the patent coverage for at least 2 to 3 years. And in this case, it is easy to understand that we arrive in 2028. 2028 are 15 years from now of possible market exclusivity. That is not trivial. Other patents and other projects are having the same strategy applied, and particularly the methylene blue, where the last patent that we filed will give us the protection until 2032. And still for this kind of project, we have to apply the same strategy. So as far as we approach the market, we intensify our patent effort in order to have the possibility to be in the more sure position against the competitor, particularly in a market like U.S., where the competitor are very aggressive.
And updating the product. The first is Lialda, that was the first our product launch in 2007. Now Lialda represents the second product in the 5-ASA U.S. market. The 2012 revenue were roughly $400 million, and they project $450 million in 2013. In terms of our income, the revenue, that let me say that in this case, our revenue, you can consider our revenue for the 95% in the bottom line, so just as a margin. We have 20.8 million euro. That was the 26% more than the year before. We are in the U-Series case. So U-Series, let me say that since the beginning of our development, we had clear in mind what we could do and what we couldn't do. Because without marketing and commercial, make it very difficult to do something that is a Me Too product and to do something that you can move only with the marketing. Since the beginning, we knew that if we can have opportunity to license our product, we have to solve an unmet clinical point. In the case of Lialda, was clear that was the major problem for the patient was the compliance, because the ulcerative colitis doesn't kill the people, but the people have to live all their life with the disease. Means that if you have to take for all your life 2-3 times during the day 16-18 pills, the compliance became slightly the same than efficacy, because when there is a lack of compliance, there is a lack of efficacy. And at the beginning, we start to apply something that was for the first the once-a-day therapy in the ulcerative colitis market. Thanks MMX, thanks Lialda, we did a fantastic job because at the end of the day, we solved the major problem of compliance that the 5-ASA market had. Because thanks Lialda, now the patient can take during the breakfast, means once in the day, two or four pills, and everything is done. Means that there is a good compliance, and there is an increase of efficacy. For the second hour development, that is U-Series, so there was not a problem of compliance, because usually the steroids didn't have a problem in terms of compliance and efficacy, because all the people knew that in terms of efficacy, so steroids is much better than 5-ASA or other compound. And in terms of compliance, there is no discussion, because you have to take one pill, or at least two pills once a day. Our focus, our intention was try to minimize as much as we can the major problem that was related to the sedative. Because What scares the people and the patient is the strong side effect related to the use of the steroids. And since the beginning, we believe that thanks to what we have chosen, that the budesonide, that is a safe steroid, and thanks to the technology that allow us to spread the substance where the disease is and allow us to avoid as much as we can the absorption of the drug, thanks to the window of absorption. The challenge was try to minimize the safety aspect. And let me say that thanks to the data that we shown at the end of the phase 3 pivotal study, the job that we did was really great, because at the end of the day, I can tell you that UCR is not is not worse than placebo. There is no side effects related to the drug. There is no problems that the drug had to the patient in the clinical trial. Means that thanks to the goal that we achieved in our development, now UCRS has major opportunity to become one of the blockbuster in the mild to moderate ulcerative colitis field. Because the opportunity is really great, because there is a, you can consider UCRS as a player that can play in the middle, just in between. When there is a non-respondent in 5-ASA, and we have considered that 40% of patients didn't respond in 5-ASA, and they have to change the molecule. There is a market, thanks to the data that we've shown in terms of safety, that is for the naive patient, and we can consider the drug apply even in the naive segment. Go ahead. So, the reaction that we got from our partner is very, very, very great, because the physician reaction to UCERIS is very positive reaction to UCERIS messages. UCERIS story is logical, putting together two familiar ideas, budesonide MMX. Why? Because thanks to what Lialda did now, especially in the U.S., MMX is a really strong trade. And you can consider MMX as one of the best possibility that you have treating the mild to moderate ulcerative colitis. The fourth message is clear need for this product. I've been waiting for someone to formulate budesonide for UC. Why? Because budesonide is a well-known compound. It's already been used in the Crohn, that, let me say, that is a is like the brother, so it's very, very close. It's one of the, you know, that the IBD family is Crohn's plus ulcerative colitis. The major difference is that the location of the disease. The Crohn is located in the ileum part, and the ulcerative colitis is located along the all the colon, starting from the ascending to the rectum. The budesonide was already launched. It was a very an important product. It's still an important product in the Crohn market. The product was launched by AstraZeneca, and still represent one of the best therapy in the Crohn disease. So there was a need, there was a wait in the market in try to develop the steroid also in the ulcerative colitis and also in all the colon tract. The key drivers of use is efficacy, budesonide, MMX technology, and the safety provider. As I told before, it's the triple best thing that we have now. Let me show the launch did by Santaros in the U.S. market. You can see that is, my opinion, is very comprehensive message. Where there is the target delivery, the efficacy, the safety, the affordability of the product, and what is really important, the information in the safety, that was, in my opinion, the major problem for the steroid, because there are no doubt that in the common knowledge, the patient knows that in terms of efficacy there is no better than, but in terms of possible related effects, they were scared that they cannot use the steroids for a long time. Right. This is the advertising of Uceris. So you know that Uceris is a prescription drug, so it means that 100% of the focus and the target of the company is try to maximize in terms of affordable, in terms of presentation to the prescriptor the product. At the beginning, the there are no doubts that the main prescriptor is the specialist, and is the IBD specialist that know very well what budesonide is, what MMX can do. Is the reason why that thanks the combination. Let me say that was easy for the Santaros people to present the product. This is the internet patient program that you can find in internet. Go ahead. This is the advertising, because there is a website that is a Uceris website. This is the strategy that has been applied from Santaros, starting from the prescriber and starting from the people that...
Right.
This is the 5-ASA U.S. market. You can see that the market now worth only for the 5-ASA $2.2 billion in the U.S., billion dollars. The leader is still Asacol, that is a very old product, but Lialda is the second player, and in terms of one shot is the most important player, because Asacol became with the two different dosages, the first, but if you consider as one treatment is Lialda, the first. There is Pentada. Entocor was the product, and is the product launched, the budesonide launched in the Crohn's disease, but was and is already an off-label use. That there were not many patients, but several patients that use as a off-label the budesonide even in the ulcerative colitis market. Right? Here's the trend, let me say fantastic, that we had in the first cell in March of Uceris. You can see that the acceptance of the drug is very, very, let me say, great. Cannot be better of this. Boom. The business case, so in terms of what Uceris represents for the company, is very important to understand that in this case, we licensed the product in the phase 3 trial, during the phase 3 trial, and means that we licensed the product in the late stage, rather than in an early stage like the 5-ASA and Lialda case. is the reason why we get a different because we have the 22% and you can consider 24 if we reach 150, I believe, I don't remember exactly the numbers, a target that we agree with Santos. In terms of milestone, we have 5 million milestone when we reach 17 million revenue. 75 million revenue, and we will have 17.5 milestone at the scale of 150 million. The Santaros people project peak sales for Euseris around 300 million. Let me say that thanks to the result of the safety, thanks to the launch and the acceptance of the physician is something that, in my opinion, we can do. Okay, Budesona is outside the U.S. The situation is slightly different because we had a problem with the, was very strange what happened in the last August, because we had a problem with the Netherlands, and we spent four months at the end of the day to revert the decision of the Netherlands, and now finally we can apply the MRP procedures. That means that within this year we will be ready to launch the product in the Europe. The product will be launched in alliance with Ferring. Ferring is one of the major players in Europe in the ulcerative, in the IBD market. We have the intention to submit a marketing authorization in North and South America, in the Middle West and the Far East. We have only one country that is out of the agreement, and I believe that in a couple of months we can start with a negotiation, that is Japan. Japan is an important market because it's the second larger market in the pharmaceutical field, but Japan requests different strategy, you have to apply different strategy and opportunity, because in Japan we have to restart from the phase one, and it means that we have to spend 5 years more, but in my opinion it's not a problem of 5 years more, there is a problem of competence, there is a problem of knowledge, and it means that we have not the intention to fulfill the entire process in-house, but we are intent to license to a Japanese company, Euseris. This is our intention.
Pipeline. I just wanted to make a comment on the business opportunity of Cortiment, or meaning Euseris, outside of the U.S. Outside of the U.S., the market is nearly two to three times larger than in the U.S. by population basis. But from a pricing perspective, it is totally different. The tablets are in the U.S., each tablet costs around $40. In Europe, it will cost around €4. To give you an indication of the difference in price, and this will vary from country to country, so you have to take these things into perspective. Furthermore, each individual country tends to apply a separate pricing policy, so this is a more tedious process, and it makes it very clear that a relatively small company such as Cosmo cannot do this itself, why we have to rely on a company like Ferring, who is well entrenched with its operations around the world.
A very short update on the R&D project pipeline is on the slide. You see that there are improving situation for old project, and you see the gray area that was the achievement on the last year. Particularly important are the three top projects that are rifamycin, that are the methylene blue in cancer screening and surveillance, and also the not gastrointestinal project that is CB0301. All of this project has a substantial improvement, particularly rifamycin that fulfill the first pivotal trial in the United States that was a superiority versus placebo trial into the traveler diarrhea. This has been done in Latin America, and the results were excellent. And for this case, you have also to take into consideration the patent approach that I just referred before, that is giving us some additional opportunity because it's a new chemical entity. From a regulatory point of view, a new chemical entity is a complication. From patent point of view, a new chemical entity is an opportunity, as always happened in the life. There is two sides of the coin. In Europe, we have the same situation that is under the FALC. FALC is our partner for European market. And FALC took the disadvantage of a particular situation in India where the so-called European trial is to be performed, because we are talking about traveler, and the traveler are European travelers that go into Far East or other countries like this. We select India as a reference market, and in India there is not only the problem with the Marines in Italy, but also there is a problem with Supreme Court that stopped all the approval of clinical trial due to something unknown in their country that they are under investigation now, and a decision is being awaited very soon. Soon means probably in the next month or in the next quarter. In this case, we can restart with our trial that was fulfilling 3 out of 4 part of recruitment. It means that there are still to recruit 200 and some patients to fulfill the enrollment of the patient and conclude the clinical trial. But due to this inconvenience, we had 6 months of stop until now, and probably there are some other months in the future, the next future, that will delay our fulfilling of the phase 3 clinical trial, and so our possibility to submit not only in Europe but also in the United States, because the two pivotal trials are needed in terms of confirmation before to be allowed to have a submission. Well, in this case, we have a delay of time, not delay of cost, because the costs are supported, of course, by the partner. In this case, we could offer the partner the chance to support some transfer possibility if the India situation is not improving very shortly.
Specifically in this case, of course, Santaros cannot file for approval of this product in the U.S. before they have the Indian data, because they need the data from two different pivotal trials, and so Santaros would like to have this data as quickly as possible. So we said in order to get maybe FALC possibly to move the trial, if the Indians keep on being creating this impasse, then we may move the trial to Latin America in order to comply with the wish that Santaros gets the data so that they can file.
Well, in this slide you have the basic economic of the methylene blue project. The economics of this project are based essentially on the demography, because the scenario is absolutely clear. We are referring to the 7 major markets, where more than 750 million are residents, and more than 35% are over 50, that are the population that could be interested in having the colonoscopy due to the surveillance product or cancer screening program that are promoted by the local agencies. In this kind of market, there are 500,000 new cancer diagnosed every year, and these are detected mainly into the late stage because the detection system and the surveillance or cancer screening program have been delayed up to now. In this situation, what is expected is that 175,000 people could have dead for this cause. And the people that survive have a social cost in terms of Medicare and assistance that is ranging between 150 and 300,000 euros. Okay. Dollars.
Nearly the same.
Yeah, okay. Well, in the past, but not really past, and recently also, has been reaffirmed that the colonoscopy is the main offer, the main possibility to have an early detection, and also in this case a possible possible removal of the cause of the cancer. And a colonoscopy has a cost that is ranging between $700 and more or less $1,000 or euro also in this case. Colonoscopy is a short diagnosis procedure, but require a preparation that take the patient engaged for, let me say, 24 hours before the diagnosis. But in this time, that is nearly ranging from 10 to 15 minutes of a scope, there are the possibility to detect and remove all the lesion that could be found into the mucosal layer of the gut. And the lesion should be hyperplastic polyps, that don't have any malign, but they are benign, and so there are no worry or possibility to degenerate in a cancer, but there are also the adenomas, there are serrated, and other lesions like the dysplasia. Well, the normal range of detection in terms of Mayo Clinic data are between 40 and 49% of polyps, where the adenoma, that is the other part, the malign part of the detection, is ranging from 25 to 35 generally. Well, these are data that are available, and they've been published very, very recently in 2012 by the three major Mayo institutions. Well, in this kind of cost, you have to think that if you use, as we already told last year, the Chrome endoscopy is not invented by us. It's been invented by Japanese 30 years ago. Well, in this kind of Chrome endoscopy done by spraying the dye on the mucosal wall, you can use the catheter to bring the dye from the ampoules where you have, or a bag where you have the dye, into the intestinal area of interest. Well, a simple catheter that you can use costs as much as $80. If you take a multi-option, so this is a disposable catheter, but if you take a multi-option catheter, you spend $140. So this gives you immediately the possibility to project a really important market case if we be successful in the clinical trial. We don't want to talk about price now, but just to give you some indication. And this is the situation in terms of research and development done by Cosmo. We made three clinical trials in the last year. The first was aimed to assess the best procedure in terms of tablet administration during the preparation to obtain the optimal staining of the mucosal wall. In this case, we over 100 and more patients, we have been able to find the best way to deliver the drug, in this case the dye, into the colonic surface in the right time. Applying this kind of schedule, we made two clinical trials, properly of phase two, and I remember that the phase two is aimed to assess the number that allow you to project and to design the sample size for the pivotal trial phase three, in order to have any surprise when you open the blind situation. And in this case, we made 50 patients that were suffering of advanced IBD. Advanced means at least more than 8 or 10 years. And other that has been normal subject that went to the hospital and the institution just for screening program or surveillance. Surveillance means a new colonoscopy made after a previous colonoscopy made same year before. Well, what is important for our purpose today is to evaluate the results that we obtain on these latter cases, that are the cancer screening and surveillance patients. You see that there are the red strip and the green strip. Well, in the red strip, you see in all regions of the colon. The colon is divided into regions. That is the cecum first, that is the entrance of the colon, then the ascending, the transverse, that is the horizontal part, and then there is the descending colon and the sigmoidal of the rectum. Well, if you took together all these kinds of regions and you assembled the data, you have that in our case we had 63% of polyp detected. I remember that the number before was 45 to 49. And what is more important is the adenomas that are the precursor of possible cancer, that in our case were 47%. In the previous case, they didn't reach, I remember the case, the 32%. So there is a substantial improvement of the detection due to the possibility that the dye locally applied offer to the endoscopist in terms of visualization of dysplastic area or neoplastic area or pre-neoplastic areas. Well, these are the fundamentals where we based the new phase 3 that we have to start very, very shortly, as Bauer told. The third project that I wanted to submit to your attention is CB031, the dermatological project. In this area, there are some operations that we fulfill. First of all, in order to approach the use market that requires specialistic knowledge on the situation there, we sign a contract with Intrepid Therapeutics that has the aim to support and advise us on the development of the preclinical and clinical trial needed. Then we filed the IND. The IND has been approved, and the IND is still under operation because we had a phase 2 clinical trial ongoing. This phase 2 clinical trial is a repetition of a clinical trial that we already did in Europe a few years ago, and is in the middle of the road because there are 4 cohorts of patients to be treated. We already completed the first, and we are going to complete the second in the next month. So we think that by the end of the year, we have completed the recruitment of the patient in time for a possible opening of the results in the first quarter next year. In the meantime, we signed a licensing agreement first with Medicis in April. Medicis was the second company into the acne market in July. I told was because now has been acquired by Valeant, that was the first company in the field. And so we have a very important collaboration with the leading company in the dermatological acne field in the United States. And Valeant, after acquiring the Medicis operation, reaffirmed the priority of this project on their project pipeline, and so we continue on the same way. The next milestone of this project is an end of phase 2 meeting that we plan to be done in the first half of next year, and which correspond to a possible milestone for our contract also. Well, Chris.
Okay, let me go back just a few minutes in the 1701, that is our Chrome endoscopy product, and after the CB0301. Because in my opinion, the two projects represent an important value and important future for the company. For the Chrome endoscopy, once again, I have to tell you that we didn't invent nothing, because the Chrome endoscopy has been invented more than 30 years ago from the Japanese. But in this case, once again, we try to make easier a procedure that is already well known, it is already effective. there is no doubt that in terms of possibility to cut a lack of diagnosis in colonoscopy, the specialist and the key opinion leader knows that there is no better than the chromendoscopy. We strongly believe that thanks to our technology, we can minimize, once again, like for the Lialda and for the U-Series, the major problem that chromendoscopy has right now. That is time-consuming, there is a need of expertise, you cannot apply in all the hospital because there is a need of a pharmacist in the hospital that they have to prepare the drug. With our product, it's very simple because you have to take 8 small tablets during the colon prep procedures, meaning that we are not going to add any problem for the patient, but we are going to add a lot of value for the professor that perform the colonoscopy, because thanks to the colon died, they can see more and they can see better. Is the reason why, let me say that what we are doing is try to make easier everything, okay? For CB0301, that is the only product that is out of the colon in our development, there is a major opportunity because we are in the skin area. You have to know that in the skin area, in the last 20 years, has been launched only 2 new molecules. Means that 99% of the skin market is a reformulation product. Our products that are old are well reformulated in terms of better performance for the patient, but there is a strong need from the physician and from the specialist. They need this new molecule. There is only two diseases related to the in the skin area whether you could find a new molecule. One is the melanoma, the other is the psoriasis. For the acne, the last new product launch in the market was a product that has more than 30 years. Means that we have a major opportunity to become one of the leaders in the acne market. And I am not surprised that the Valium people reconfirm great interest in our drug. They reconfirm a great interest to develop as quickly as they can the product that should be launched within 2016. Okay? What we are waiting for this year. So let me say that we wait a year that must be better than the 2012 because we wait an increase of revenue. We project more than 60 million. We have a situation in terms of cost that is flat. We have an increase of R&D because we project to fulfill the entire phase 3 in chromendoscopy. For the SGA, we have no change, and the operating income increase exactly corresponded to the revenue increase. What should happen in this year? So we wait the first quarter result of U-Series in the U.S., the launch of the phase 3 pivotal study that allow us to register the product for methylene blue in the second or third quarter 2013, the half yearly financial in August 2, the launch of Cortiment in the Netherlands, the approval of Cortiment in other European countries, and the possible result of phase 3 rifamycin in the second pivotal study that we are running in India. So this is, I hope that we will be able to present the company, and I am sure that especially for the investor it's important to understand where the company is and where the company is going. So let me say that for the 2013, I am strongly optimistic that we can have a better year than the 2012. Thank you very much. Now the questions are open. You can.
You have given a very positive outlook of your company, but when you look ahead for the next 5 years, what year do you expect the year to be the real breakthrough year within the next 5 years?
It's difficult for me to think about 5 years. I can, because I can tell you what I expect for this year, what I expect for the next year. So I expect in terms of value of the company, in terms of something that we already developed and we are developing, something great, because as I explained, I strongly believe that UCL is a major opportunity, and UCL can be the product that can play as a blockbuster in the mild to moderate ulcerative colitis. For the methylene blue, we already explained that we try to move the company from a niche market to a big market, a major opportunity. And let me say that for the CB1701, there is no chance that we enter in a royalty deal. We are not interested in a royalty deal. We are interested in share the profit for this deal, because we do believe that the experience that we got allow us to play in a very strong position. There is no need in terms of knowledge to get a partner during the phase 3. There is a need only in the U.S. To get a partner for approval consideration, because we do believe that if we have an U.S. partner, we can have a major opportunity to be approved in the in FDA. Okay? But there is, I can tell you now, is that 28, 29, I don't remember, of March, there is no chance for the other that we are going to license the product in a royalty deal. I can tell you that we already raised a lot of interest around the product, but we have not pressure to enter now in the deal. And in the case that there are companies that are intent to enter and to share the profit, okay, we can discuss for the U.S. For the Europe, I believe that at the end of the day, we will drive the European strategy after the U.S. strategy. Maybe in Europe we can apply a sort of country-by-country strategy, because in my opinion, this product allow us to think about this possibility. For the other product, as I said, so for the CB0301, the balls are rolling. We are just in the middle of the phase 2 dose range study. We will expect good results, because we already performed a phase 2. Now, what is clear, what must be clear in the next couple of months, the how we will approach the phase 3, which dose is the right dose. And let me say that everything going well for this compound, we have major opportunity in a very huge market. It is an acne market, and maybe also in the alopecia market. In terms of applying a different business model, because maybe this is the question, so let me say that I still remain convinced that we are not in the position to sell our product directly in the U.S., but never say never in some country in Europe. So we will see in the next couple of years. I hope that the answer was exhausted. Sorry for the other 3 years. I cannot predict the other 3 years.
I just wanted to ask again for you, sir, is if you say a blockbuster potential, am I right? You mean it has a potential for $1 billion
something
like that?
Sorry, in the mild to moderate ulcerative colitis. It's not in the IBD market. Okay. To become billion product, you have to deal in the both market. You have to deal in the severe and moderate. So I believe that the Santarus people project 300 million peak sales. I believe that is something that we can reach, and maybe we can do even better if I consider the possibility that we have to play in between and in the 5-ASA market.
Okay. My second question, is this a competition to Lialda?
It's not our competition, so it's the competition to Lialda, but we didn't manage, we are not going to managing the product. Let me say that I cannot consider a competition whether there is in a drug I get the 2% and the other drug the 22%. So something that, so if I have to tell you, in our opportunity, our focus is for sure is in the USARE, because it's more innovative, is something that create more value in our company. So I have to thank Lialda, I have to thank Shire, because thanks Shire we can have the proof of concept done by our technology. But in terms of future, let me say that there is more opportunity in develop a new steroid without any safety concern. This is my view. Terms of opportunity and business.
Furthermore, I'd like to point out that, as you know, in Lialda, we have a cap on our royalties, which we're going to be reaching sometime between 2014 and 2015.
Yes, but let me say it's not a money problem. It's an opportunity in terms of view, in terms of vision, in terms of what the patient, there is a need for the patient. And let me say that with Lialda, we did something great in terms of try to cut the lack of compliance, but for the steroids is something that is more intrigue, because it's something, the challenge was stronger, and there is no doubt that there was a need in the market. The market was waiting something like the MMX budesonide, a steroid without side effects, not only money problems. For the business view, I believe that we have major opportunity, because there is something behind that is newer. This is my opinion.
Good morning, Bob Pooler, Valuation Lab. Just on the $7 million milestone from Santarus, have you decided what to do with that? Are you going for the cash, or do you believe there's still upside in the Santarus share?
We'll decide within 15 or April. There is an agreement with Santarus, the agreement is that we will decide within the 15 or April. I am sure that at 14 we call the Santarus people.
Okay. Then just on the rifamycin delay and infectious... Just on the rifamycin, the delay on infectious diarrhea, does that have any impact on the proof of concept trials in, for instance, diverticulitis?
The diverticulitis, the Falk, you know that we licensed the product in Europe to Falk and in the U.S. to Santarus. In Europe, we already started with the second indication of rifamycin, that is not complicated diverticulitis. I believe that in terms of how we want to develop the rifamycin, we thanks the position that we have in the colon area, there is a lot of sense, make a lot of sense that we develop the drug where there is the infections in the colon. The diverticulitis can represent one of the major opportunity that the rifamycin has.
In other words, Bob, whatever is happening on the infectious colitis side has no impact on the schedule of the diverticulitis side.
Okay, then. Just on methylene blue, MX, you had the end of phase two meetings with the FDA. Could you give some flavor on those meetings? And has there been any changes on your planned phase three? For instance, also the clinical endpoint, the primary endpoint.
The flavor is good. Because we have get back the minutes and the discussion from FDA, because the meeting took place in Washington the 12th of February, and let me say that we already solved 99% of the problems. Now they are waiting our protocol. And we will send the protocol to the new protocol to the FDA within the 15th of April, and we hope that we can start with the enrollment of the patient in the third quarter this year in the U.S. and Europe.
And then just one final question on low molecular weight heparin, MMX, what the status is there?
The status, there is nothing new in the last year, because, as you know, we have a major problem in the U.S. market, because after a pre-IND meeting, the FDA people didn't allow us to use the data that we already collected in more than 20 or 30 years sold. Even though the product is already sold in seven major markets in Europe, the FDA considered the product as a new chemical entity. And this is put us in trouble, because I feel that before starting in any program, we have to find a partner that believe in the project and can be close us in the U.S. development. And let me say that the opportunity that we had in the last 2 years, we believed and we still believe that there were major opportunity than rifamycin, than heparin, low molecular heparin, and at the end of the day, we push in other direction. But there is still an interest, and the interest should be great if we will reach an agreement with other U.S. company.
Any questions from the external listeners?
The first question from the phone comes from Peter Welford from Jefferies. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi. Yes, thanks for taking my questions. I think I've got three left. Firstly, just on the R&D outlook for €17 million, I was hoping perhaps we could get some sort of, I guess, approximate breakdown on what comprises that €17 million in terms of the programs that will make that up. Do you want to answer them one by one? Is that easier?
I think if you can break down, the bulk of the cost will be coming from the CB1701 trials, which are likely to be expanded to 1,250 patients. The second leg of the cost will be coming from the cost that we have on the a CB-0301 trial, which we're financing through the end of phase two in the U.S. And then there's sundry additional projects which we're ramping up, which we're putting in there, but I think the bulk of the cost will be coming from the two first elements.
Okay, thanks. And then just with regards to the amortization of the budesonide capitalized costs, will that start presumably now because Centaurus has launched? And is that just straight line over the life of the patent, or how should we think about that, and where will that appear in the P&L?
Yes, it's straight line over the life of the patent.
And is that, sorry, will that be in R&D, or is that in...
That will be expense. Well, it'll be going through the P&L, and it will be occurred this year the first time.
Okay, thank you. And then just finally, just when we think about, I guess, the outlook for the revenues and obviously the comments Mauro made regarding the partnership, have you included any sort of income for the Methylene Blue program during 2013, or would anything you do with that be upside to the outlook? Thank you.
Well, we do expect, as Mauro said, there's a number of initiatives that are currently ongoing, and we do expect that there could be a transaction this year. But it is, of course, a bit amorphous on putting a number on what sort of a price would be put up front. And that's why we said we're looking for revenues above $60 million, but it's a bit difficult to pinpoint how much above it's likely to be.
That's great. Thank you.
Let me add something, Peter. So in our intention, what we already projected is in the U.S. market. For Europe market, we have no intention to license the product this year. No intention.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The next question from the phone comes from Julie Simmons from Canaccord. Please go ahead, madam.
Hi, thank you for taking the questions. Firstly, I was wondering about Ferring with its launch of Cortimon in Europe. How confident are you that they're going to be able to get the product onto the market this year, and what's their strategy for that?
Yes, we are confident because let me say that, so now I can tell you that in terms of commitment, the commitment that we raised from Ferring now is very strong, because they have seen what is happening in the U.S. Second, they are extremely interesting in promote the our drug, because first is the first steroid without heavy side effect. Second, they can have major opportunity to present after 20 years something new in the IBD specialist.
Okay. And just in terms of sort of research spending looking slightly further out than 2013, presumably with a slightly later start to the Methylene Blue trial, some of that, the R&D spend for 2014 will also maybe be slightly higher. How are we looking for that sort of taper off to go?
As you know, Julie, the issue on the clinical trial is not patient recruiting. Trials can be done very quickly, and we do believe that the bulk of the trial will be conducted in 2013. Moving forwards in 2014, moving ahead, we see no major expenditures in sight anymore. There's none planned. So actually, you'll be having a relatively strong drop-off in 2014. If I would have to make a budget for 2014 and 2015 in R&D, it would be substantially below of what we have today.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no more questions from the phone at this time.
Okay. Any more questions from the floor here? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.